Good afternoon.
Hi there.
There we go.
Oh, there we go.
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
Now we're back.
Hi there.
Good afternoon. You're joining We the People Radio for another fun-filled Sunday afternoon here. And we have a guest with us today. We have Guy Asherman in for his annual visit. I was going to get to that.
Sorry,
I just like to do it different.
Oh, okay.
See, Bill likes to do it the same every week. I like to do it different. My name is Erin Ryan.
Oh, and I'm Bill Kunda.
If you're going to do it different, you have to fill that space with sound, actual sound.
That's a sound bite I'm going to say.
And Bob Martin is our all-around good guy, music guy, pushes all the buttons. Without Bob.
Good afternoon, Erin and Bill.
We just sound like
good
nothing.
Good afternoon, Bob. I did mess with your soundboard there earlier. I've mastered the control of the volume button. That's the one button I know how to use.
I know. It's the one I know how to use,
too. Yeah, the rest of them are very intimidating.
Come in here, and it's like, wow. So, we thought we would take a break from some of the normal stuff, the national security and all that jazz. And I'm here with three very nice men. Isn't that just a rarity these days? And nobody's going to be burned at the stake in the new Salem witch trials.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be coming after me in the near future.
No. I think you guys are all pretty safe, but who knows, right? It's all about the finger pointing. And sometimes it's about the bad behavior, but...
And sometimes it's about who people choose to believe.
Yeah, and then there's that.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to be a bad person to be, you know, ousted
labeled.
And in the olden days... Remember in the olden days, the only time that really was a big deal was during, like, some divorce proceeding. Mm-hmm. And then somebody would say...
All the dirty laundry came out.
Well, it was like, the dad's a molester, you know, and that was where the bad accusations came out, you know, was to hammer the dad in the court proceedings. And now it's like, I don't know, it's everywhere.
Yeah, all past transgressions are, yeah.
Oh, sure.
I can't even say it, let alone do it.
Freudian.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just kidding.
Yeah, it gets all
but it all comes out now. I don't care if it's 40 years ago.
Oh, no! Suck again!
Exactly.
That's what all the men are thinking at this point.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, yeah, I even missed that Garrison Keillor. Apparently Garrison Keillor from the Prairie Home Companions of Purr.
I mean...
He
said he patted a woman on the back and accidentally put his hand 6 inches up her dress. She was wearing a
dress
with an opening in the back or something.
You know, she was 7.5 feet tall.
Okay, I didn't hear any of it, and that's a lot more fun. I wish I would have heard the story.
Yeah, that about rises to the level of 93-year-old George H.W. Bush patting somebody on the rear. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't know that. I never heard the story. It was
about Keillor?
Yeah, no. He was eclipsed by Matt Lauer, but I thought, what? What about all the Methodists and all that stuff? Okay, well, so he's not really a pervert.
I'm Garrison Keillor. I'm at 90s, and I'm just saying, you know what, guys? I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's pretty old. Is he old?
He said he's probably our age. He said he's 75, and he has no desire to re-argue this. He said he apologized to the woman years ago, and he thought everything was great until...
She came.
After all of this latest... goings on with sexual harassment and everything, all of a sudden he gets a call from a lawyer.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a fad that's in...
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah,
okay, so you were a pastor for...
Off and on.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, a long time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And the Higher Ground Counseling, do we call it a service?
Center.
Yeah. Center, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the word I'm after. Has been up and running for a year, 2 years?
New location, almost 2 years now.
Oh, my gosh. I remember we talked to you right when it first started.
And that's when I started devoting my full time to it. But it's been around since 2010. And operating out of the church. Now we're operating independently of that in our own office location down off of Park Marina.
Okay.
Yeah.
And actually, you got there just in time to... catch the wave.
Yeah, no kidding.
You had no idea the world was going to become mass hysteria.
Yeah.
So what do you see from your vantage point? What does all this look like?
Well, I guess on the heels of your comments right here, I think it's important for us to point out that perversion is not restricted to Democrats or Republicans. It's a human condition.
Yeah, right.
And it is interesting that if I hear a liberal commenting on a conservative's fall from grace, there's so much vitriol and so much hatred.
Yeah.
But the other is also true.
And you throw in a little glee. Don't forget the glee.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're rejoicing.
Yeah, there's a little glee going on.
Yeah, try not to dance on my grave.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Matt Lauer, remember when he had Bill O'Reilly on? I just listened to that the other day, and, you know, well, don't you feel dirty for doing that?
Yeah. And it's, how do you explain?
How do you live with yourself? No, yeah. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we have a human condition, and it's not assigned on the basis of political affiliation.
Yeah, no.
It's assigned to being human.
But what about I'll be the staff misogynist here. So what about the 40 years ago, something, you know, may or may not have happened, and suddenly it's coming up a month before the election, you know?
That kind of makes it political.
What about that whole mindset, though? What's up with that? Because it looks to me like just straight manipulation.
Well, I think the timing says everything about it.
I think so, too.
And it does have to do with politics, you know. So it's really a shame.
Yeah.
And also, how many of us are the same people we were 40 years ago?
Exactly.
Right.
You know, so it's like this legalistic, condemned, until your last dying breath, there's no grace, there's condemnation, there's accusations. And we don't even know to what degree those accusations are, number one, true, and number two, to what degree they are.
Right.
But the accusation makes you guilty, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it didn't used to be that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it used to be if you got accused of something, you got your day in court, and everybody kind of withheld judgment a little bit,
right.
But today it's quick to judge and move on.
Mm-hmm. So you're condemned at just somebody suggesting it, and that's not due process. I've heard that word a couple of times.
Well, we seem to have kind of done away with it.
Yeah,
because you look at some of those things, and how are you ever gonna? How do you defend yourself, against something that didn't happen?
Yeah.
That's incredibly difficult.
It is.
And the person accusing has zero to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
No witnesses, no nothing.
Yeah.
So they point the finger. The other person says, I didn't do it.
Pick a team.
Yeah. And then it depends on if people like you or not. It's almost like a popularity contest. Have people been waiting to hang you? And if they have, yes.
Yeah, they rejoice.
This is it. This is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But if it's somebody on their side, it's completely ignored. Thus, Bill Clinton.
I was going to say the original poster child. Yeah, for this type of thing, and you know, it didn't matter how many people they brought out against those guys. You know, everybody was lying.
Yeah.
Or my favorite, it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
It's his private life.
It has nothing to do with his job. It's his private life.
What goes on in his private life. That was the defense back then, too.
It was too.
His private life, and we shouldn't be concerned.
Well, all of it
that.
Is private life.
Sure it is.
Well, except for Matt Lauer with the secret button in his room that locked people in. and the toys in the desk. That was kind of at work.
Well, that's at work, yeah.
was at work.
Well, so was the other.
That's true.
Oh, that's right. The other one involved a desk as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That was his private life on public property, the White House.
Yes.
Yeah, it just... But see, a lot of these, like the Judge Roy Moore thing, I mean, that's just been weird. A lot of that stuff just doesn't even really add up.
I think we are in a disaster. That's not the right word. The foundations are gone, and truth has become so incredibly obscure on just about every level.
Yeah.
We are a society now where nothing holds us united. What are the common values that we have that make us a civilization and a society? And those foundations are being destroyed. In fact, some would say already have been destroyed. And on that basis, then, what is truth? It goes back to Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is truth? So if we don't know what truth is, and we know that there are elements in societies around the world that are trying to undermine concepts of truth for the very purpose of destroying civilizations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, you sow the seeds of doubt everywhere.
Everywhere.
Some of them are going to grow.
Yeah, I heard the other day somebody was saying that all great civilizations of the past have all fallen from within, not conquered from mm-hmm. from the outside, and that's, I think, what we're seeing today is we're destroying ourselves from within, and I think we're going to get to a point where it will collapse if we don't turn it around and mm-hmm. get back on some sort of moral and ethical.
Well, like we're
standing.
No longer, right. You know, you look at it as a society, we're no longer willing to public. Well, okay, I am, and you probably are, but as a society, we're no longer willing to come forward and say, look, there are men and there are women. There are boys and there are girls, and those are the choices. Mm-hmm. That's all you get to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think maybe that's what's happening now? Is we are
we have 22 genders?
Maybe we're attempting to get back on some sort of moral standard. I don't see that. I mean, with the, you know, the removal of God from everything, the you know, you can't put the Ten Commandments on anything anymore. You know, flags are discriminating. I mean, there's so many
things.
Well,
I have a tagline on my email that says, "In God we trust, all others we question," mm-hmm. which I kind of like.
To. But now it is God we question,
yep.
And the opposite party we don't. But we only hold our party in trust, the opposite party.
Right. Kind
or God,
of,
we
but
don't.
Even that's, see, that's the part that's kind of interesting, because I'll wind up talking to people like about the tax bill. Mm-hmm. Well, the tax bill is about math. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's about numbers, and numbers are fairly static. You know, they you know, two and two always comes out four, unless
sure.
you know, we do the Common Core thing. But and we check our feelings and what gender we want to be that day.
I'm
not really sure what else
thing.
We're injecting into that, but I think there's a lot. Yeah. But in real life, you know, things still add up. And I had someone tell me that the standard deduction was going to be $4,000, and he was just going to get creamed in the federal tax. And I said, well, sir, it's $12,000 for an individual, $24,000 for a married couple, and most people do not have mm-hmm. deductions that exceed that. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's $4,000. I know it is, because that's what I saw on the news. And yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not in charge of the news.
Right.
So I can't do that. I can't fix that for you. Mm-hmm. And I said, but you can, well, I don't believe you. And I thought, well, it's a number. You can go look it up.
Right. Yeah, people believe what they want to believe.
And yet, even
don't
a number,
confuse me
you can't,
with the facts.
You can't
right,
go look
right.
up a number that hasn't, it's not even like it used to be four and it went up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even, I don't know.
They would rather engage the fury.
Yeah, it's really
facts.
Weird. He wanted to be all mad about it. And I'm like,
they believe
is...
what they want to believe, and they believe who they want to believe.
Yes.
And so whatever a person that they really trust says, that's the gospel.
Yeah.
No sense in doing your own homework and your
right.
own research.
Right.
If he said it, it's true. I don't worry about the rest of it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah.
Bill's over here trying to be Italian. He's waving his arms around.
But I think it's really important for all
Italian.
Of us, regardless of what our political positions may be. It is the human condition. We all have it. And there is a remedy for it. And the remedy for it is a surrendered heart to the foundations and principles of our country and of spiritual values that say there's something bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
This goes beyond being human.
Yeah, we're not
beings.
Really the boss of this whole thing.
Right. And, well, we're trying to be, and look what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. We're not really yeah. the boss of it, though.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's why we're doing such a stinky job.
Yeah. Blaise Pascal said, "Truth is so obscure nowadays and lies so well established that unless we love the truth," oops, I got canceled, "we shall never recognize it." And I think that's where we are today. And he wrote this how long ago? You know,
yeah.
hundreds of years ago. But so it's always been that way. That we always try to obscure truth in order to tell the lie and tell it enough times that people believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are today. And, I mean, just look at the Facebook wars, the things that people are throwing back and forth
yeah.
at each other. And I used to get into those, you know, because I was right and they were wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
And it's just like,
eventually,
you know,
you're going to come out on top.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wrong.
It's like,
no,
I'm just going to walk away.
There's more of them than there are of you.
And, yeah, so, some of it's kind of fun, but not as much fun as it should be.
I will attempt to give you the truth on the standard deduction here.
Yes.
With this disclaimer, it does come from CNN Money. No. But it says the House and Senate bills, the new tax bills, nearly double the standard deduction. For single filers, the Senate bill increases it from $6,350 to $12,000. Mm-hmm. And for married couples filing jointly, it rises from $12,700 to $24,000.
Yes.
$24,000.
And in that whole thing, it was never four. And that's what I told him. I said, I think you just heard the four of the 24.
I think he did.
And yeah, I was like, this isn't really something I'm willing to argue about, because this is really easy to prove.
Yeah.
So I offered to, like, email him something, but, of course, what I would send would be a lie. So I was like, okay, I give up. Yeah. Hey, so do we need to take a really fast break since we're kind of blowing through all the breaks?
Yeah, we do need to take a break.
See, and I always blame it on the fact the person's on the phone and we can't really give them the high sign, but you're sitting right here. And we're almost 10 minutes past. So, okay.
That just means we're having fun.
That just means that I basically can't tell time. So time is very relative for me when it comes to all of this madness. Bob? Oh, hey, there we go. We are good to go. All right. Take a really quick break and celebrate a little capitalism, another thing we love to hate these days. And we'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.com.us, .net, .org.
We got them all.
They want you all body and soul. It's just your body. Then they go, what shall we do about them?
Ooh, you like to think that you're immune to the stuff. But closer to the truth is saying, can't get enough, you know you're gonna have to face it. You're addicted to love.
I'm sure that's it. That's what's doing
that's
it.
That's the whole thing. It doesn't have. It's
you think
love?
You think Matt Lauer's out there mowing his lawn today, humming this one?
Yeah
probably not.
Hope he has a different neighbor than Rand Paul.
That's exactly what I was thinking until his neighbor comes over and tackles him. He's totally going there. Yeah, can you imagine that? You're just mowing your grass, and all of a sudden, you have a wild animal on your back. I can't. I seriously.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah,
and the guy's like, no, we were feuding over landscaping. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You must have some amazing landscaping. I don't know. But stuff like that.
But that's how...
That's all part and parcel of this whole problem.
Well, we have all been whipped into this frenzy of hatred and malice and accusation that we don't love our enemies.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to
agree.
I think we can all agree on that, actually. I don't think you'd have anybody who would argue that point.
And we have a pretty strong mandate from the Lord that says that's actually what we should be doing. And actually, through that, that's how we win people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to our opinion, but to His opinions, the Lord's opinions. And that's,
but you have to actually know what they are.
Well, you do. We have to know what they are.
Therein lies the problem.
Therein does lie the problem. Let me share a couple thoughts with you, if I could.
Do it.
This is from Psalms 11, verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And it's a question the psalmist asks without giving it an answer. What do the righteous do? And, of course, both sides say they're the righteous side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the problem is we don't know what the foundations are, and we're sitting on sand, trying to build on sand, and it cannot... It cannot survive. Here's Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So the Lord is saying, come back to these foundations. And the people are saying, no, we're not going back to those foundations.
Right.
And there is, therefore, no remedy.
Right. Well, we're going to chart a new course. But
that's better than his.
But the new course goes nowhere.
Right, right.
I mean, it's almost...
Well, it goes to the same place it's always gone, you know, and that's getting back to...
Are we talking about Satan?
Satan. it just...
Sorry, someone had to say it.
It's the cause of the collapse of every civilization. You know, look at the Romans are a classic example. I mean, they just got so sideways with everything that they... They crushed themselves.
And they were the birthplace of republic government.
Yeah.
You know, it was a fantastic empire at first.
Yeah, it was the model for the world. Look what they achieved. But it, it crumbled. And now I think our civilization, our culture, our society in the United States is a model for the world. But lately, mm-hmm. is this the model?
No.
It's not the model.
No, it's not.
It's completely.
It's a bit embarrassing, is what it is.
Yeah,
and other countries have to look at us the same way. It's like we're not the great America we used to be. We don't want to do what they're doing.
Well, we used to defend. We used to at least agree on being Americans.
Right.
I mean, okay. So maybe we can't agree on God necessarily.
Yeah.
You know which. I don't even know how to say it, like version of God. I don't know if that's how they look at it, like versions. But at least we were all Americans, and that was a good thing. And now, well, that's not a good thing anymore.
Well, if you have national pride now, you're a fascist.
Right.
You know, so you're either a fascist or you're a progressive. Mm-hmm. And they have eliminated folks like us who say, I'm neither.
Right.
I'm neither. But they're so effective in their labeling that people just buy it. And so if a liberal sees you walking through the grocery store with a Make America Great Again hat,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be subject to an awful lot of persecution. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend that happened. This lady walked up and said, "What's the matter with you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself," simply because she had a cap on.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you can't be for America.
Uh-uh.
Right.
It is globalism, and the whole concept of humanism and globalism that we've been fighting for so many years has taken such strong root that we're not sure we can get
well,
it back.
Because this idea of being inclusive has been pushed so hard, you know. Mm-hmm. We have to be inclusive of everyone. Now, on the surface, that seems like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when everybody has to check their values, their morals, their nationality, everything at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk into the white room where there is nothing and no direction. And that's what inclusive is. Well, that's always going to take a weird turn.
No matter what country, no matter what their foundation.
Exactly. Because there's no respect for what people believe. I mean, you used to, I don't know, you know, I think I've told you this before. I grew up in a neighborhood where basically everybody was Jewish. Rabbis and stuff. I mean, not, you know, just sometimes Saturday Jewish. I mean, they're Jewish 7 days a week. And we were Catholic and they were Jewish and, you know, they kind of celebrated our holiday things with us, and we got to go to their stuff, and it was all really interesting.
Sure.
It was a great place to grow up, and it was very informative. But it wasn't where our stuff is better than your stuff, and you don't fit in because you're not like us. I mean, everybody was able to be included, but have their own.
Right.
And somehow now we don't have – that's
we,
like
–
that's a
that
bad
anymore.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think would happen, you know – do you remember during the 9/11 days, everybody turned into a patriot? We all flew American flags.
For
we all were
days.
Proud. Yeah, exactly. But we all came together. The same thing happened, you know, like during World War II. Mm-hmm. Everybody pitched in for the war effort. Today, I'm afraid that if something like that happened again, where we were really threatened as a nation by another country, I'm not so sure that people would come together again. I think we've divided ourselves so much that we could be in real trouble.
We're already blaming the current administration for
everything.
For everything, but we're already blaming President Trump for the nuclear weapon that North Korea might send our way.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they've already started this, sowing those seeds that says, if this happens, it's our fault. And
it's like, wait
so
a minute, this person was a crazy
unity?
Person a long time ago.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So you're right, Bill. I think what's going to rally us if somebody attacks us, we're actually going to blame ourselves and turn against ourselves.
Right. And that just makes it so much easier for the inevitable, which is collapse.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll turn into a warring nation on ourselves, which is pretty frightening.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you can't, I mean, I always go back to it, but if you can't agree that there are two genders in the world, I mean, really, where are we going?
Yeah.
You know, if that's up for debate, what the heck?
No foundation and no absolutes. That's what we really hate.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm...
We don't like an absolute anything.
Right.
Everything has to be questioned, and your truth may not be my truth, which means truth doesn't exist.
Oh, wait, and then we say, let's agree to disagree.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, but I've always hated that. I'm like, you can't agree to disagree.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
So, anyway, I thought I could share a few thoughts.
Do it.
From our history, mm-hmm. where we're talking about foundations, okay? And I sincerely believe, not in a cultish way, not in a bigoted way.
Oh, darn it.
I'm giving my disclaimers already.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a big disclaimer.
We were really looking forward to the cultish one.
we've always been a mixed bag.
Sure.
Our country from its very inception has always been diverse in different thoughts and different thinking. So I don't want to say some things here by way of quotes to say that everybody felt this way. It's always been a melting pot. Now it's a tossed salad. I like the melting pot better,
yeah.
right? But this, just some quotes. This is Harvard was the first university that was founded on American soil. And it was established by the Puritans in 1636. And these are their original rules and precepts. Okay, quote, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well. The main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. And therefore lay Christ at the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning." And the motto for Harvard was Truth for Christ and the Church.
Wow.
What happened?
That's a great question.
That is not the case today.
It is not.
Absolutely
in
not.
In any of our universities.
Uh-uh. Nope.
And if anything, it's going hard the other way.
It is anti their foundation.
Yeah, let's pretend that never happened.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's almost like a dirty secret they want to hide, and I'm thinking...
Well, you know, who was it who said the cost of freedom is eternal vigilance?
Yes.
And I think sometimes in our success through the couple of centuries that we've been around is we got a little too relaxed. We got a little too
We thought it was all going to be fine.
Yeah, and we forgot about what fight it was to establish this country in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were reaping all of the benefits without realizing that there is a real problem with despots. There's a real problem with wrong thinking and bad philosophy and bad politics, and we just kind of let it go. But certainly the university system and school system as a whole has become a great problem. And I have a theory as to why, Bill. They became public.
Oh.
Okay, so any institution...
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Because otherwise we're going to have 7 breaks all at the same time.
Okay, we'll come back.
we've got to come back to that one, because I know where you're going on that night.
Oh, sure. Yeah. All right, I'll find out if he knows during the break, and then we'll let you know when we come back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Haven't seen you in a while. How've you been? Have you changed your style? And do you think that we've grown up differently? Don't seem the same. Seems you've lost your feel for me. So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
You've been telling me you're a genius since you were 17. In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. Things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years?
This always gives me new appreciation for the music we grew up with.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. Good one, Bob. All right.
So true.
All right, so...
Private...
Pick up where we left off.
Privatizing education.
Yeah. Education, hospitals, the establishment of very basic institutions in this country was done by private... Mm-hmm. A lot of it was done by churches as well. But churches built the hospitals. And so when it became governed by public monies, it spoiled us. We fell for the lie. Mm-hmm. And now anybody who works within the organization is always going to move into the direction of socialism.
Right.
Because they are part – I might get a phone call or two on this one. If you're working for
– We'll give them your number.
The government
530-605-4567.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, we have a phone call. Oh,
we do? Oh, we already forgot about okay.
Well,
sorry.
Finish your thought.
Yeah. Well, now I don't even know what it was.
Well, privatize, anytime you take
if
government.
If you work within the government institutions in some capacity, you're already working for the system. You're already getting paid by the system.
Yeah.
And to vote against that system is detrimental to your own well-being. And so, you know, as soon as you have 50% of the people all working for government, then you can't turn around anything because they vote for their own self-interest.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. So that's what's happening in our education system. Can I share one more quote?
Yeah, do it.
This is a quote from the National Education Association from 1892, when it was first getting established. Okay, this is what they said. They issued a warning about secular progression of the public schools. Quote, if the study of the Bible is to be excluded from all state schools, if the inculcation of the principles of Christianity is to have no place in the daily programs, if the worship of God is to form no part of the general exercise of these public elementary schools, then the good of the state would be better served by restoring all schools to church control. Those are our foundations.
And that was the NEA.
That was the NEA. Not today, that's not the NEA.
No.
No, because here we have the National Education Association, the nation's largest professional employee organization.
Mm-hmm.
So forget about those students. It's the largest employee organization.
Yeah.
Is committed to advancing the cause of public education. They have 3 million members that work at every level of education. I mean, that's when you click on the About tab at NEA, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Just that. It's not about our principles, our values, and...
you won't find this quote on their site.
And there's no G-O-D in there.
No.
No.
No, you won't find that quote on their site.
Interesting.
We have a caller?
Yes. Mort's online. He's our hostage. He's been our hostage. Mort, you're free to speak.
Mort?
Hostage no more. Oh, maybe still is a hostage.
Mort? Hello?
Uh-oh.
All right.
Lights are on, but nobody's home. The line's not disconnected.
Mort, can you call us back, please?
Well, Mort can call us back.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I think anytime you take government money, I don't care if it's the road department, the education system, whoever it is, when you take government money, you're beholden to the government.
Mm-hmm.
And state governments are guilty of it. I mean, all the way up the line. And I think the only way to really put the control back into the people's hands is to quit taking government money and put it back in the private sector and let the private sector figure it out. They will figure it out. They always have.
The spooky part is we have a huge percentage of our population
that works for government.
Well, that and doesn't think the private sector does it better, which is kind of weird.
And how do you wean them?
Yeah.
How do you shut that money off? Here's another quote. I have lots of quotes today.
Yeah, we're good.
You guys have heard these, I'm sure. This is 1887. Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh. Quote, a democracy is always temporary in nature. Let me finish before you get mad. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that the voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse over loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. We don't like to hear that, but I think it's true.
But it is true.
And I think we're living it, because once you start down the entitlement path, how do you turn it around?
Right. How do you get people away from that? How do you retrain people to earn what they have? Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be said about owning something that you earned.
Yes.
Instead of owning something that was given to you. You take better care.
That would
care
be just
of it.
Possessing something.
Yeah, I mean, but it's human nature if the government comes out with a program and says, hey, we're going to give you this,
mm-hmm.
if you do this, you're going to take it. You're going to take the free money. Let's take the free money now, and we'll get back to, you know, doing things our way later. You never get back.
Right.
You never.
No.
And then what you said, how do you wean people back to the right road of earning what they have?
Because you can't get elected.
No.
If that's your goal.
Yeah, we're going to take away all your free stuff.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be freer. And everybody goes, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, Mort, are you in there?
Yep. Yes,
hey.
I am.
Hey, there we go. Glad
to get through. It's a marvelous program. I think you're on the right track. Your 1892 remark was very interesting because James Kennedy remarked over his program and in his books that the Supreme Court did rule that this is a Christian nation after reviewing all of the earlier historical documents. They should have said this was a Christian nation because I think we've gone downhill very badly. I wish I had the court case in front of me to tell you. The other point was we're discussing America to be great again. I would much prefer the words of de Tocqueville, the Frenchman who came over here trying to discover why America is great. And he found out it was the churches that made America great because they were good and they taught goodness. And that basically that's all I have to say, and I will hope you keep up the program. So America needs to be good again through the churches, and unfortunately the churches seem to be out to lunch or something.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mart.
Thanks, Mart.
Good words.
I think a big problem with the churches began when they weren't allowed to preach any kind of politics.
Well, they silenced themselves because they got confused about politics and morality.
Well, again, but it was about the money. I mean, they
worried about the tax exemption.
They won't get their tax exemption, yeah. So they stand down on a lot of these issues that people need to be set right on.
Yeah. And President Trump tried to sign an executive order that did away with that ruling from the Johnson administration in the 60s is where that whole idea mm-hmm. of
yes.
separation – and, of course, it started with Jefferson, but it's all been misconstrued from what the original intention of Jefferson's words were. That's another story another day perhaps. But they're trying to reverse that, and everybody's afraid that if we do speak on politics, then we're going to lose our tax-exempt status. I have a completely different view on it. And I believe that government cannot grant churches tax exemption. They can only recognize it. Governments cannot grant tax exemption. They can only recognize it because of this single truth. Only a sovereign can tax a subject.
Mm.
And if government thinks that it has the power to tax the church, then government is sovereign, not God.
Right.
Oh, that's awkward.
So even if they take away a piece of paper that says you don't have to pay taxes, guess what? The church doesn't have to pay taxes anyway. That's a conviction. And I have to tell you...
But do they have the money and the fortitude to stand on that mm-hmm. on that belief and fight it out in court?
I don't think they do.
That's what they're afraid of.
I've shared that view with a lot of different people, and they all kind of go away shaking their head. Well, I'm not so sure.
But
there's consequences to that belief. Well, there's consequences to all of our
beliefs. Absolutely.
And the problem is we don't stand on anything.
No.
The problem is, we expect the pastors or the priests or the ministers or whatever the head of your particular church is to go figure that out. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the people are the bulk.
Right. Recently, I shouldn't say
so
recently.
So if people stood up, I think it would be different.
Two or three years ago, I contacted many, many, many pastors in this town, and we started a new group, a pastor's fellowship, with the intention and purpose of educating on legal issues that are impacting the church. And they all said, we don't want to get into politics. Let's just fellowship.
Yeah.
So I walked away from it.
Right.
So,
because what does that mean? Let's just chat about the state of the state?
Or, let's just go have a hamburger, you know.
Oh.
They didn't want to talk politics. They feel like there's no place. And here's some irony on it. The day that they decided they didn't want to do that again, they said, hey, tomorrow's Martin Luther King Day. Let's go celebrate it. And I said, what? You want to talk about a Baptist preacher who was involved with politics?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, right. Why would you say you want to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, but you don't want to look at the issues that are affecting us today?
Because what did he do?
He challenged government.
He stood up against
it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's probably one of the most powerful tools we have that we need to take back out and use is
activism.
The churches.
Christian activism.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No, I think so. Another quote. This is from Daniel Webster, early Secretary of State. Quote, "To preserve government, we must also preserve morals. Morality rests on religion. If you destroy the foundation, the superstructure must fall. When the public mind becomes impaired and corrupt, laws are a nullity and constitutions are a waste of paper."
Mm.
That's a scary statement.
That is a super. Is. Do that. Say
it's
that one
true.
More time.
It's true. Okay. Daniel Webster says, "To preserve government, we must also preserve morals, because a constitutional form of government can only be maintained by a moral people."
Right.
Because that's where our freedom comes from. Is
we
deciding
to
live well.
We have to operate on the same basic assumption of how the world works.
Yes. And then he says, "Morality rests on religion. If you destroy the foundation." Meaning, morality and religion. If you destroy the foundation, the superstructure must fall. When the public mind becomes impaired and corrupt meaning no religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't
tell
no
right
morality.
From wrong.
So we're an impaired people today, right? Mm-hmm. According to Daniel Webster. So I keep interrupting myself. When the public mind becomes impaired
I like
and
it.
Corrupt, laws are a nullity and constitutions are a waste of paper.
And look at today. How many laws have we passed that we don't follow anymore because we don't like them?
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
Well, they want laws. They want laws, but
only
those laws don't mean anything if there is no morality though. If there is no morality, then really your basic assumptions about how the world works, you can't legislate morality. I mean, how many times have we heard that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't legislate morality, but that's what we're trying to do.
That's what they say we do, and I take issue with the statement because it's always about legislating right or wrong.
Right.
Right? So that's morality. Government does legislate morality. Thou shalt not kill.
But not the real morality. I mean, not the in your heart of hearts, you know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, they want like a new gun law for the guy in Tehama County that had already killed his wife and then went and shot people.
Right.
We need to make a law for that. And it's like, well, how do you...
Yeah, first let's line up all the laws he broke before he,
How about enforcing the ones that are on the books
already? Killing people's already wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, and how are you going to get ahead of somebody who's a loon?
Yeah.
Well, this guy shouldn't have had a gun in the first place if the, what was it, the Air Force didn't put him on the... disqualified from having a gun list like they should have, everybody.
Well, yeah, there are all these kinds of things, but even that, I mean, unless you have X-ray vision and ESP...
Mm-hmm.
In your police force, you're not going to know.
Yeah.
All right, we've got one more quick break here because we were tardy. Okay, I was tardy. Got them all at the end of the hour. But we have another hour with Guy Asherman, so it'll be fun. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask. Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces.
Back. You're listening to We the People. We have a second hour here coming up, but in our final 2 minutes of this hour, you said on the break. You didn't tell us the quote, but you had a quote from Lenin to give a little perspective.
Okay. I was going to give one.
Oh, or do whichever one you had.
Let me give another one, and then I'll contrast it in the next hour.
Knows what?
With the ones that I've been doing. Okay?
Okay.
See if you know who said this. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. These firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. It was a farewell address of George Washington.
Oh, there you go.
The father of our country.
Oh, the guy who didn't believe in God? According to...
Oh, yeah, who knows?
According to recent history?
Yeah.
What the heck?
And then another father of a different country. To rely upon convictions, devotion, and other excellent spiritual qualities, that is not to be taken seriously in politics. And that was Vladimir Lenin.
Sure. So if you're going to subject everybody and do all sorts of terrible things, well, you better demoralize them.
Yeah.
And take... I mean, literally, demoralize them.
Yes, yeah. He also said there can be nothing more abominable than religion.
Sure, because it flies counter to everything.
Personal
else.
Responsibility.
Yep.
Individualism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, no, it's a collective state. We will be the nanny state.
We'll tell you what you feel, think, and can own, can have, can earn, how many,
where we know what's best for you.
And that's what's happening here.
And that's exactly what's happening in our federal government, right?
Sure. You look at it at the end of the day. Lenin's theory or view of the world, he was planning on being God. You can't have God and then a guy being God. I mean, that
competition.
Yeah, exactly.
He eliminated all of his competition.
Exactly.
A few million of them.
The Kim Jong-un program.
It's funny. Nobody had a better idea than him. All of a sudden.
All of a sudden. Oh, my goodness. Well, right. We'll be back to further discuss in the next hour. Our guest here is Guy Asherman. He has a Higher Ground Counseling Service. Higher Ground Counseling. What did you call it?
Center.
Ugh. I have a mental block. Maybe I better go there.
That's kind of apropos.
I was going to say,
block, counseling.
I have a mental block. Go to the counseling center. I'm cured. You can find everything about him on WeThePeopleRadio.us.